It's the final pod of 2025 and no one knows what day it is, but we do know that we're targeting Manchester United and Liverpool. We're selling our Palace and maybe our Bournemouth defence, and we're also reminding you to use your chips. Guys, it's Monday. We're at that period, aren't we, where we don't have a clue what day it is. And this is just going to confuse you even more, isn't it? Because, as you can hear, that was the laugh of Julian Ron. This is the voice of Kelly Summers. And Sam Bonfield's also with us, which means it's a Monday FPL pod. No off the bench, because we're at that time of the year where no one knows what's going on. All I know is there's loads of football, there's loads of deadlines, and there's another one just around the corner. So we are going to be here to review and preview everything. Firstly, morning Sam, morning Jules. Good Christmas,
hello guys.
Yeah, it was lovely. Thank you.
Joyeux Noël. Very good.
good. Well, enough of that. We don't really care about the presents, do we? As long as we've got green arrows, one of which I did not get this week. A main reason I didn't get this week was because I didn't play my bench boost, and I was very silly because it was actually the highest number of bench boosts active so far this season. Almost 600,000 of them were played. And of course, that's because a lot of people have Dubravka as their backup goalkeeper. Van de Ven, also a lot of people had him on the bench. The likes of Harry Wilson was also benched by over 60,000 people. So well done if you did play it. And this is your first reminder that this is your last game week to play any remaining chips, because of course you can't carry them over to the second half of the season. How was your game week, Jules?
It wasn't bad. 49 points, which got me green arrows pretty much everywhere in all the mini leagues and everything on the overall, which was good. I brought in Calvert-Lewin, who scored and got me 8 points. That was good. I also brought on Ekitike, who I captained. I wasn't sure about Haaland against, I thought Forest could do well against City defensively, and I think they did. A draw was probably a fair result for them. So I was not sure about Haaland, and I had to get more points from after my bad week last week. So I was happy to captain Ekitike. He could have had more than just the assist that he got, to be fair, and more than the 10 points that he got. But I was still happy with the 10 points that he got with the captaincy. And I got a bit, I think, lucky with like everybody else. If you had Van de Ven as your first sub and you had Timber in your starting 11, Timber, the big surprise of not playing. I was at the Arsenal game and I was there early. I got the team news really early and I was like, what? Are you kidding me? And that also meant Rice at right back. So I thought there's no way Rice is going to return at right back. And yeah, he still did. So in the end, it was a decent game week.
Sam, decent game week for you as well. You took a -4.
I did take a -4, yeah, as I said I was going to. I had to deal with the Bruno Fernandes issue that arose for me. I actually didn't notice that Timber wasn't playing because I was out for the day on Saturday.
Neither
so
did I.
Zero attention.
I was at work and I was covering all the games and I was doing final scores. All the games were on and I'd seen the teams come through and I'd like just skimmed and I didn't even skim for Timber. And it was only about 70 minutes in. I thought, I've not seen him. And then I checked the team sheet. No. Not good. Well, good for
you're
you.
Better than me because I paid no attention to it because I was out. I took my little one to the ballet on Saturday. So we were out and about in London for the day. And I got back in just in time for match of the day and I sat down to watch it. And I was like, I'm so raging about that double Arsenal clean sheet. And Lee was like, but Timber didn't play. And I was like, what? Why? I'm less annoyed now, particularly less annoyed on Sunday afternoon than when Spurs kept a clean sheet and Van de Ven replaced him in my starting 11. So that was pretty delightful because I think I'd have been really annoyed at myself for leaving Van de Ven there had he got 11 points and it sat on my bench. Wurtzim went well. I think it would have been a green arrow were it not for the -4. The -4 just ticks it just slightly red, but I'm all right with that. Thiago to Bowen didn't pay off this week, but I've got hope for some improvements from Bowen in the next two because he's coming for a reason for the next, well, it was this week and the next two that we have coming up later on this week. So we'll see. I'm sort of okay with it because it was a difficult week for a lot of managers, some players missing out, players blanking, some results that we weren't necessarily seeing coming. So I think all in all, I'm relatively happy with the way that this week's panned out. And then we just move into midweek, see how we get on.
You were only just, with your -4, you're only just below average, weren't you? I think you got 42 with your -4.
42 with the -4, yeah.
And 44 was average. So yeah, for me, I ended on 38 and it was a world of pain, really. I got the 3 points of Van Hecker to come in for Timber. Calvert-Lewin's 8 points I put on the bench because I played Rodgers over him. He would have been my highest scoring player, other than Dubravka, who I also benched. And as everyone knows, I have got that bench boost and I didn't play it because of the injury concerns that I had. And yeah, I've got to play it this week. So going to be discussing whether we think Timber is going to be back very shortly. Let's check in on the FPL Pod Mini League for the final time in 2025. And Henry Heiner is going to end the calendar year at the summit. He also went against the Haaland captaincy with Eka TK. 65 points for the game week, which was a really good score considering everything that happened this week. He also sold Saka for Anthony Gordon. Oluwatabi Ajayi is also second. He got 44 points, also played his wild card. But he's still got his free hit and bench boost to play. So I'm interested to see which one of those he's going to play because, of course, he can only play one this game week. Suki Sudu is third. He's closed the gap on second, though, to just 3 points. He got 53 points this week. He also captained Eka TK. Your code is XY6XPL if you are tempted to join us. Right then, let's try and rattle through as much as we can from game week 18 to try and do you a little off-the-bench review, which will hopefully help you plan for game week 19 as well. Let's start with the one Boxing Day fixture, Manchester United 1, Newcastle 0. I think one of the big headlines probably from this was the fact that, of course, a lot of us sold Bruno. A lot of us bought in Mateus Cunha. He blanked. What did you make of his performance, Jules, and his chances going forward?
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting one because the risk without Bruno for this United team, even with him playing deeper this season, is maybe the lack of creativity. And I think that's exactly what we saw. And yes, the warning was a big win for them. It was not very convincing, very great in terms of football and the performance. But the most important, I guess, is that you take that win, you grind it out really defensively in the last 30, 35 minutes, really, because I think Newcastle are tight and Newcastle could have scored in our second half easily, one or two, when United didn't have much, really. Dorgu scored a great goal in a more advanced position. It was a slightly different system too and formation from Amorim, finally, after more than a year in the job of being so rigid and so dogmatic. So that was not too bad. But outside of someone like Lammens, for example, or even Lisandro Martinez, who was coming back, and that defense that didn't concede, for the rest, I just don't think if you've got a United player, if you were thinking about getting one, that you are more advanced in your thinking, because I don't think we saw enough despite the win.
Yeah, what did you think, Sam, and of Cunha in particular?
My slight issue with Cunha is that when Mount went off at half time, I thought that Cunha's performance got worse. And moving forward, I think Jules is right there. Without so many players, that's a concern. And we don't really know what the situation is with Mason Mount moving forward. Like, is he going to be okay? It seems like it was precautionary, but then is that, you know, we know that he's injury prone and has been for a while now. So if we don't have him and they don't have Ahmad and they don't have Mvomo and they don't have, the list goes on and on and on. And then Bruno, that's really difficult to know what's going to happen. Now, it is Wolves up next. So I think if you bought in Cunha, you would expect to be able to get something out of him. You'd expect him to be increasingly important in that Manchester United team. But they are lacking a lot of creativity, especially if Mount's not there as well. So I think if you've got your hold, I still think he's probably a player to target for this week, given the fixture, especially if you're using your free hit chip. I think if you're using your free hit chip this week, it makes absolute sense to have Cunha in there and potentially even to hand in the captaincy. But I think if you're looking at a transfer in, there might be enough injury concerns in that Manchester United team that you just gives you a bit of pause for thought in terms of doing that transfer.
The injuries, though, as well, perhaps offer some other interesting options at Manchester United. I think a lot of eyebrows will have been raised seeing Dorgu get a 17-pointer. And there is some other options as well in there as well, Jules.
Yeah, I think so. But again, the next three games are Wolves, as Sam just mentioned, then Leeds and Burnley. So certainly defensively, if you want to invest in United, probably defensively right now in terms of certainties-ish, that's where you've got the most chances. So again, go for the goalkeeper, go for a defender. Even if there's a bit of rotation, I think you know that Shaw is going to start. You know that Dorgu is going to start because also, like Sam said, there's so many players missing that you wouldn't be surprised if like Amorim, just depending on Mount's fitness, but if he's the same starting 11 against Wolves that he was in this game against Newcastle. So I think there you can go. I would probably go more for the defensive side of things because I'm not sure offensively if you're certain that Cunha is going to have a great game or Xerxes or it could be Sesko or it could be Mount if he's back or it could be Dorgu, but it's a bit more tricky. I think defensively, Lisandro Martinez, Lammens and Shaw gives you a starting spot pretty guaranteed. And you would think against Wolves, Leeds and Burnley, or certainly Wolves and Burnley, a high chance of keeping a clean sheet.
4.1 million for Dorgu. I'm absolutely very likely to bring him in, Sam. I've got my bench boost. I need a cheap defender. He feels like a bit of a gift, given the couple of fixtures that Jules has just mentioned.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there will be a lot of managers out there that have got expensive premium defenders that haven't exactly set the world on fire. Like if you've got Virgil heading into the next couple of weeks when, you know, you would expect Liverpool to have kept a clean sheet against Wolves and they didn't. So if you want to free up some money, then going from a Virgil to a Dorgu or even just making changes to the way that your team is structured, like there will be a lot of managers that saw Gabriel come back for Arsenal and thought, well, I'll get rid of Raya then. And get the Manchester United keeper instead. Like that, there's definitely options in that back line and they're all relatively cheap. So if you can go down to Dorgu, who's 4.1, that's great. If you want to spend a little bit more money, then you've got Dalot, who's 4.5, or you go for the goalkeeper. Like these are all really nice options for the next 3 weeks. And it gets you then through the busy Christmas period into January, and then you can reassess the way that your team is. So yeah, if you've got a bench boost active or a free hit, I would definitely have a Manchester United defender as part of those.
What about Newcastle? Because a frustrating evening, again, away from home. They just struggle so much when they're not playing at St James's Park. The likes of Voltemader and Gordon, obviously heavily owned. Burnley, it's a nice fixture. It's away from home. Burnley don't score too many goals. But where are you at with Newcastle at the moment, Jules? Because I don't particularly want to invest.
I know, I don't trust them either. I think they're very capable and we've seen them, especially in some of the big games. And then they're capable, like in this game against United, or not being strong enough defensively, certainly in the first half. And then the second half, where they're better and they put you under pressure, they just don't take the chances, or they don't, when they're on top like this and they put you under pressure, they don't make it count. And I'm struggling to understand. I thought Bruno Guimaraes was very frustrated again at the end of the game, which is never good. But Gordon should have scored. Miley should have scored. They had enough, really, I think, to at least get a point. And they didn't. And there's clearly something that Eddie Howe is not getting in right, whether it's in the team selection, it's substitutions during games, what his front three or even front five with the subs, when you think about the options that they have even. Mm. It's not just you rely heavily on Voltemader or just on Gordon. They've got plenty of options. There's a lot of things they can do. And United were not very good on Boxing Day at all, even at Old Trafford. And yet they let more points slip.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't great for Newcastle. Forest 1, Man City 2. Have we all got the wrong City player, Sam?
Oh, it's so annoying, isn't it? Like I had three City players going into that game and I thought, what could possibly go wrong? Oh, everything did. All three of them blanking. Made especially irritating when O'Reilly picked up a yellow card and then Gvardiol went and got an assist. That was lovely. Yeah, Cherky's looking excellent, isn't he? He looks like the Manchester City player to have right now. Since becoming a regular starter in game week 10, he's now got 8 assists and a goal. So regularly returning, looks really good. It's difficult, isn't it? Because without Doku, we're seeing Foden play a little bit more out on the left, and that's not ideal for him. Like you prefer him in the 10 in and around Haaland, and that's where you want him. I think, you know, when Doku comes back, then we'll see Foden move in a little bit. Maybe if they get a new signing in January, they might go out there and he might come back in on the 10 again. That will be very helpful. But right now, Cherky is looking like a fantastic option. Would I change Foden for him? Not right now. It feels very sideways to do that move and a bit luxury. But if I didn't have a City midfielder, then I think Cherky would be the one that I would look to right now. Yeah, as a O'Reilly owner, very frustrating to see Gvardiol with the assist, Defcon, and a bonus point in there as well. So that 8-pointer really hurt, especially with the yellow card for O'Reilly.
Yeah, and Gvardiol getting that 8 points felt like a bit of a throwback, because he was always our Man City defender of choice, wasn't he, before we went to O'Reilly?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And on Cherky, I think Sam is spot on. The Doku injury has been beneficial for Cherky and for Reinders, because Reinders is, especially in the second half after Pep tweaked it tactically, because City were not good at all in that first half. I mean, I don't think they were very good in the whole game, but they found a way of winning, and that's the most important. But Reinders is not occupying the space that is usually Foden's when Doku is there on that left-hand side. So I got a message asking me if Cherky was in my FPL team. I promised I would bring him in, so I have to bring him in now. So I will bring him in.
Are you going to do Foden to Cherky then?
Like Sam said, it's very luxurious. I'm a very luxurious guy anyway, so I'm very happy to, you know. But yeah, I need Ryan Cherky in the team. He's my boy, so here we go.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I thought that's got a Julian Leroy move written all over it this week.
Although he's not from Paris, you know, he's Lyon born and bred, but we still love him.
Forest look better at home again as well. Sam, any interest there?
Yeah, I think the problem with Forest is that they do look better at home, and then they go away from home and they don't look great. So it's like, it's one of those, isn't it, where it's, you're kind of making a decision based on if they've got home and away fixtures. Elliot Anderson remains the player I think you would go with. He made 10 ball recoveries, 3 interceptions, 2 clearances and a block. Did, you know, another set of defensive contributions. That's 22 now that he's got across the season. That's the most of the midfielders in the game. So I think from a DEFCON perspective, Elliot Anderson still remains the player that you would go to from Forest, but you do have to be aware of the home and away form difference that they have right now.
Arsenal 2, Brighton 1. We've already mentioned it, the big headline here, no Timber. Jules, what do you reckon is going to happen? How long is he going to be out of our teams for? What's your guess?
It shouldn't be too long. I was at the game and I should not go to the game anymore because I was there against Wolves when they conceded that goal. I was there in that game when they conceded that goal, and having Raya in goal, because I think we all preferred him to your second option as a goalkeeper, whether that was Dubravka for a lot of you guys or, you know, whoever you had as your second goalkeeper. So that was really frustrating from an Arsenal point of view if you had Raya in goal. For Timber, it should be okay. They lost Calafiori during warm-up, who didn't feel great. So if you also had Calafiori, by the way, and he was in the first lineup that we received because he was a very late... I don't know how you say, late not playing, and Lewis Skelly came in for him, then I think Calafiori also was not safe. He was behind the bench with the usual injured players. So he should be fine and should be back for this huge game on Tuesday against Aston Villa at the Emirates, obviously. So it's not so much if they would be back. I think they would both be back. It's more... if you trust the Arsenal defence, who could not keep a clean sheet against Wolves at home, against Brighton at home, and now will face the most informed team, not just in England, but in the whole of the world, really. Right now, 11 wins in a row for Villa in all competitions is... they've only done it once in their whole club history to start with, but nobody else in Europe has that kind of record right now. So it's more if you think that Arsenal will not concede in that game against Villa.
Jules, I'm going to be short with you. I've got a bench boost. I need to know, is he going to be all right to start?
Yeah,
it's all right for you with your 11 points from Van de Ven coming off your bench. I'm not going to have that luxury.
It's okay.
This week.
Nobody, you're not a luxury player like me. But yeah, he will be back. Timber should be back. And Calafiori as well.
Turn your phone off if that lineup comes out and he's not in it, because I won't be happy.
Oh, no.
To be fair, I haven't really got enough transfers, so I'm just going to have to pray that he's fit. We've had the Bukayo Saka versus Declan Rice debate a few times on this pod in various places, Sam. It's continuing, isn't it? Because both of them got assists, and I don't know, I watched a lot of that Arsenal game, and I do want to own Declan Rice as well. I think he's brilliant value for money.
I think this is the problem, isn't it? Is that I watched this game back on Match of the Day and was like, Saka's unreal. Like, he's just unbelievable. He's so good. And I'm watching this game thinking, how have you only got me 7 points? Like, why? Where's the haul that should have come from this game? Because he had so many good opportunities, not just to get assists, but in front of goal also. Declan Rice gets another assist from a corner, which is another one of those, isn't it? Last week he gets the assist from the corner because we get a handball that gives away the penalty. This week we get an assist from a corner because Ruta decides to head it in his own net. But yeah, it's frustrating, but it did make me think. And I was watching this play out thinking, well, maybe now we're at a time when I no longer think that Rea is even the best second Arsenal defender to have, because we're at that stage where Gabriel is back and we would want to move back towards that. But at this point, I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe the right option here is to change out my goalkeeper for a different one, a cheaper one, probably. And that would enable me to have both Rice and Saka, because the way that Rice is regularly picking up the points now is just, he's too good an option at the price point that he is to not have him. So that's 2 goals, 7 assists, 14 defensive contribution points, 8 clean sheets and 15 bonus points now for Declan Rice. And he's super cheap still. Like, I mean, he's got more expensive as the season's gone on, obviously, as people have got involved. But, you know, we're still talking about a player that's so vital for the way that Arsenal play and playing so well. And he's like just over 7 million. So at that price point, it's becoming increasingly difficult to turn him down.
Would you bring any Arsenal players in, or would you just hold given the fixture this week though, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hold this week, don't you? I mean, my pondering was more on, do I immediately get rid of the goalkeeper and swap him out for the Manchester United goalkeeper, or even move towards the Chelsea goalkeeper? Like, am I... freeing up some money there, which would enable me next week to do something more. But it's actually not really next week. It's just the end of this week to do something else with my team. Or is it better to just have what we hold for this week, see what happens? Because as Jules said, this is probably the most difficult fixture that Arsenal will face, you know, this season, probably with the way that, that Aston Villa are playing. So I think I'll probably just wait it out and then do the Declan Rice move from after the Villa game.
Brentford 4, Bournemouth 1. What a first half performance from Brentford. Of course, Thiago registered an assist despite 1.2. In fact, more than 1.2 million managers selling him. 20 points for Kevin Sharder, 3 goals and 3 bonus points. They've got Spurs, Everton and Sunderland up next. Are we underinvested in Brentford, Jules? Should we be trying to find someone else alongside Thiago?
It's a good question, Kels, because I'm not too sure. I think Shadow is capable, and we've seen that last season, and we saw that sometimes at times this season too. I think he's very capable. I think Thiago is a solid number nine. He's decent. It's a good assist for Shadow on the first goal, the way it happened. But he also had chances and didn't take them in this game because he could have scored at least a goal. I think his expected goal is 0.25 or something like that, or 0.2. So he wasn't bad, but he's still, as a number nine, you probably would want him to return a little bit more. I'm not sure where you go in midfield. Damsgaard got an assist. And again, he's very capable. But sometimes I think he lacks a bit of consistency individually from those players to return. And that's the only problem I have with them. And defensively, you can't really go there. I don't think they're solid enough, for example.
Yeah, it does just feel like every week it's a different player returning, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard with Brentford, isn't it? Because I think this was as much about Brentford being good and scoring 4 goals as it was about Bournemouth just defensively being all over the place. So, yeah, I was one of the players that sold Thiago, and, you know, only Bruno Fernandes was sold by more than he was this week. And so it was one of those where when he gets the assist, I was like, okay. But I do think you would have expected more. In a game where they score 4 goals, you'd expect more from Thiago than just an assist. So I think in some ways we were probably a bit lucky that we sold him and that's all he did. But in other ways, you know, I'm still not convinced that he's the right player to have anyway up top. So I don't regret the decision to sell him. Mm. But I do agree with what Jules just said. I think selecting anyone else from Brentford is quite difficult. If you want to go for a Seth Vandenberg or even Kelleher in goal because you want to move money around and take it out of the defence, then I don't mind that. But with the midfielders, like, so Sharder gets 20 points this week, but we haven't seen that for weeks with him. Like, we haven't seen that consistency. And it's moved around in terms of which Brentford players have been performing well and which, in terms of FPL, which have been the ones that have been the ones to be on every week. So yeah, for me, I think reluctantly, I'm just going to stay away from the Bees because, you know, they have got the hardest game ever of the season when Spurs arrive there on Thursday night.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, we'll ride that one out and see what happens. But yeah, it's difficult to invest, I think, in Brentford and know which one is the right one to go to unless you're freeing up money with a cheap defender.
As for Bournemouth, they haven't won since the 26th of October in the Premier League. They've now conceded 4 goals in 2 of the last 3 games. Antoine Semenyo has had returns, 3 returns in a row now, but it just feels quite hard to invest in them in general, given that form, Jules.
Yeah, it's terrible. And then they play Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs, Brighton and Liverpool. All in the league, all back to back. It's just, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if Tyler Adams not being there is a problem. I don't know if physically and in terms of fitness, they're not there either. But it's just terrible. That game was terrible from their point of view, considering how good they could be or they've been before. Iraola needs to sort this out very quickly. Otherwise, they might not even win a game until we are, like, you know, in February. So it's just incredible how good they were at some point and how poor they are right now.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, then moving on. Just quickly, what do you think people should do about Senesi then, Sam? Because going back to because he is still a DEFCON magnet, but it just feels hard to keep him.
But it's great being a DEFCON magnet when you get your 2 points for playing the game. But when you lose them because you've got conceding 4 goals, then you only get 2. Well, what's the point then? Like, I'm looking at him and he's still relatively expensive. It's like 4.9. So you can go in a lot of places from that. So I think I'm probably going to end up selling Senesi, probably not this week, possibly this week if I want to take some money out, but it might be one of those that I just let ride for this week and then we see where we are for next week, because I've got him currently sat on my bench anyway. The only thing I would say with Semenyo is that he's now the second highest scoring player in the game still, and he's still the second most popular pick in the game. So when he returns, as he has been over the last 2 weeks, it does really hurt your rank. So despite the fact that Bournemouth haven't been great and the fixtures aren't great, he's doing okay, and it's having a massively detrimental impact to my rank every time he does okay. So just one thing to be mindful of, that these players are quite heavily owned. So if you sell them, they can have a negative impact if they do return.
Burnley 0, Everton 0. Wasn't the world's best game. Briefly came to life a little bit at the end. But I think it probably just focuses in on the defence of both of these two teams. Let's start with Dubravka, 11 points, the most bench player in the game. Got a clean sheet, 6 saves and 3 bonus points. Sam, do we, or Julesy, either of you, do we need to start considering starting him a little bit more?
I think if we'd have known that Grealish wasn't playing, I would have been tempted.
Yeah, no, because NDI, no Jusbrahil, no Grealish.
Yeah. So I think had we known that Grealish was ill and not going to play, then we're at a point where it's different, isn't it? Because as Jules says, they've basically now got no attack. And then I think you think about it. But the problem is that when you've got Raya as your number one, you're unlike, and you know, it's playing against a Brighton side where you would have expected a clean sheet for Arsenal, to be fair. You're unlikely to play him. And, you know, it's hard, isn't it? Because yes, he gets a clean sheet this week, but we just haven't seen that from him. So I think it's one of those that you hope that he does this when you're bench boosting. But realistically, I don't think that you're going to play him otherwise. I mean, that's his first double digit haul of the season. So it's not like he's been doing this all the time. It's just a frustration when he does it and you don't have him.
The Everton defence, on the other hand, we've kind of been touching upon them in recent weeks with their fixtures. 10 points for Keane, 9 points for Tarkowski. Do we need an Everton defender now, Jules?
I think so. I think especially if you, you know, if you have Senesi and you want to get rid, or if you have, I don't know, a Crystal Palace defender and you don't really fancy them anymore, which is fair, and we'll talk about them soon now as well, then why not? As we said, the fixtures turn really well for them. This starting with this one, Forest, Brentford, Wolves, before Aston Villa after that. So even the next three are decent for them. And you know, especially with that, if they don't have the attack there, that Moyes is going to say, let's make sure that at least we don't concede, and then you take a point at least and you're happy. And if you can nick a goal there and there, then you take that. So I think Tarkowski, Keane, even Pickford, Mykolenko, O'Brien, go wherever you want. But I think it'd be quite smart to bring in one of them.
Liverpool 2, Wolves 1. Hugo Ekitike was the most transferred in player. No curse, but it could have been so much more, couldn't it? He did get the assist for the Wirtz goal and he hit the post in the first half. Gosh, was that a chance? I was watching that live. It felt like we were a bit unlucky, really, in the end, Jules, wasn't it? Especially as you were the captain.
Yeah. Yeah, and also because it was, you know, Wolves, and Liverpool could easily have scored 3 or 4, if not more, in that game. I think you probably get more frustrated if you own a Liverpool defender for them to have conceded a goal, a bit like when Arsenal did against Wolves, because you're in full control really in that game. There's just nothing happening and yet you concede a goal. So that would have been really frustrating. I think it was very encouraging again from Ekitike, and the partnership between Ekitike and Wirtz. It's a lovely goal by Wirtz. It's a great assist by Ekitike. And I think going forward, certainly for now, until Salah comes back from AFCON and we can talk again about does Mo Salah fit in this whole system without Szoboszlai, I think Wirtz and Ekitike are the two main guys right now at Liverpool, especially with the Isak injury as well. So if you're thinking about investing in Liverpool, and they, you know, the fixtures are Leeds and Fulham now, but then you play Arsenal, you've got Burnley and then Bournemouth. So apart from the Arsenal game, it's looking really good. I think it wouldn't be stupid to go for both Ekitike and Wirtz, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say that, Sam. Would you be tempted by the double up in that Liverpool attack now?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, they've got Leeds in midweek and they've conceded 19 goals on the road this season. So there definitely is an opportunity there to double up on that Liverpool attack. And I think with the fixtures that they have over the next few weeks, it makes sense, particularly as Jules said, because we don't have the potential risk of rotation that we have for most of the season so far, because maybe you see them miss one or the other of these games. We'll also have Szoboszlai obviously back for midweek as well. So managers that still held him through his suspension will be pleased to have him back. But yeah, Wirtz was one of my transfers in this week. Very glad to have him. Because the thing is that when Liverpool don't keep a clean sheet, which you know, they often don't, because of how involved he is and because of how well he's doing all of the other stuff, you are almost guaranteed that he picks up the bonus points. So that's a nice additional route to points for him that you maybe don't have with some other players in that Liverpool team.
West Ham 0, Fulham 1. I mean, It was a, I felt so sorry for kind of, was it Scholes? I can't remember what it was at the end, the mistake right at the end for the Fulham goal. It was tense, it was nervy at the London Stadium, and that feels like it could be quite a big result in the wrong way for West Ham. But from a Fulham point of view, back-to-back goals for Jimenez, 9 points for him. Can we look in that direction? Because Fulham all of a sudden kind of have a bit of form behind them, Jules.
Yeah, I think so, Kels. I really think so. I thought he had a really good game, and Fulham could have scored more. They expected goals was 2.5, I think. I thought they were really good in that game, and so were West Ham. West Ham could have, it's a game that could have finished 2-2 very easily until that mistake late and the poor Scars, who's West Ham through and through as well, and who's ended up crying on the pitch. I think Fulham have that kind of momentum. I was just looking at the fixtures now. It's Crystal Palace, Liverpool, Chelsea before Leeds and Brighton. So it's not easy. It's not the easiest. So maybe don't go for Jimenez right now. If you've got Wilson, Anderson, like I do, for example, maybe keep them. Certainly for the Crystal Palace game, where Crystal Palace are not in form. We've said that before, and it needs a nap. but yeah, Jimenez in good form. That's a big win for Fulham as well. Massive, massive win.
We talk a lot about Anderson when it comes to the Fulham defence, but are there any other options there, Sam?
I still think he's the best option, realistically, because, you know, you can go for Robinson if you want to, but Anderson is the one that tends to tick over with the extra points for defensive contributions and that kind of stuff. And I do think it, with your defenders right now, you're looking at potential upside, aren't you? So if that clean sheet goes, you want somebody that is going to, you know, get you a couple of extra DEFCON points or maybe have an attacking return in their locker. So for me, it still feels like Anderson is the one to go to, because of the potential extra booster points that you have there.
Chelsea 1, Villa 2. What a game this was, particularly. I don't think anyone saw this coming at halftime, did they? What an impact from Ollie Watkins. 32 minutes, 2 goals, all 3 bonus points. I guess the problem we've got, Sam, is he didn't start. And we need players to start, don't we? I mean, it's all well and good if you're going to come off the bench and score 2 goals every week. But yeah, I mean, do you have to start once you've come on and scored 2 goals like that? It's going to be interesting, isn't it, to see what Emery does.
Well, it was a bit of tactical genius, wasn't it, from Emery? Oh. The makes those 3 subs, completely changes the way the game is played, because Chelsea dominated in the first half and then Aston Villa really shone. Ollie Watkins gets all the limelight, but Onana was fantastic when he came on as well. So you're not having him in FPL, but still great. Mm. It's difficult to invest in Ollie Watkins because, one, he's expensive, so you've got to find some budget to get him. I think he's... what is he right now? He's 8.5. So if you're going to go there, you're probably replacing somebody like an Ekitike. That's not going to do that right now, particularly as that he hasn't been starting. He did make such a difference, though, that I would expect him to start the game against Arsenal in midweek. But yeah, for me, it was really all about the fact that I wasn't watching the first sort of 60 minutes or so, I wasn't too worried about not having Rodgers. But once those changes made, Rodgers then became a lot more attacking again, and because he wasn't having to do so much of the defensive work, made a massive difference to him as well. And owners that went for Rodgers early, I think you're a bit unlucky not to get something out of Morgan Rodgers this week. If you've gone there and you've gone early because, you know, you had Chelsea this week and Arsenal next before that great run of fixtures that we've been talking about for them from game week 20, don't panic about Rodgers because you are a little bit unlucky not to have got something from this one.
Yeah, I agree. Jules, I think you agree as well as a fellow Rodgers owner.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And for Watkins, I mean, I just don't think in terms of appearance off the bench in a Premier League game, anyone had so much more, as much impact as him. He had 8 touches in the Chelsea box. 4 of them were shots on target and 2 goals, obviously. He had 4 shots on target, 4 shots all on target. The 2 goals, it was incredible. They played more direct. Onana made a big contribution as well. And I was a bit disappointed by Maresca for not responding to those changes. And for me, again, if Chelsea dropped points and lost that game, it's because of his issues in game management. But for FPL, if you had a Chelsea player, you know, Joao Pedro or Palmer or Neto or a defender, I think you'd be very frustrated with the way Chelsea let that game go, because really they were in control of it.
Sunderland 1, Leeds 1. Dominic Calvert-Lewin scored again. Oh, yes, I brought him in. Yes, he was on my bench. 6 consecutive games now. Only he and Erling Haaland have done that this season. His price point, Sam, he is a gift, though the fixtures get a bit tougher.
Yeah, but it's difficult, isn't it? Because it's harder, like with the way that my team's set up right now, I've got Guillou as my third forward. In order to get from Guillou to Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Quite a big up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 1.6 million. That's really not insignificant. That's quite a big change to your team. So it makes it hard to own him. But he has been consistently returning. And like, would it really surprise you to see ex-Everton player Calvert-Lewin score against Liverpool to wipe out the clean sheet in midweek? No, especially with the way that Liverpool do concede the odd goal here or there. So the fixture's tough, and yes, absolutely. But Calvert-Lewin, if you have him, he's definitely a hold. Like, and I wouldn't worry about having him on your bench boost this week. I was like, I think he's in such good form, really confident, and Leeds, the best form of, you know, getting something out of the game is for them to attack, because defensively they've been a little bit at sea since they joined the league, and obviously they lost Roden in this one as well. So yeah, was impressed by Calvert-Lewin again.
Okay, let's move on to Palace 0, Spurs 1. Big result that for Spurs, and particularly you, Jamy van der Ven owners.
Yes. Well, I mean, yeah, of course, but that's why you have a, you know, good bench that you can rely on, really, because when I played the team, and obviously you won your first sub, so I had Bruno Guimarães as the first midfielder coming in I played with the back three, and then it was either Anderson from Fulham or van der Ven from Spurs. And I did think that, considering Palace's form, Mateta hasn't scored in 5 games now, there's no Ismaïl Assar, Pino and whoever is the other attacking player not really on fire right now. So it looked like Spurs could keep a clean sheet, maybe more than Fulham away at West Ham, for example. That's why I had van der Ven as the first sub, did not knowing obviously that Timber, until really late, that Timber would not play for Arsenal. But it was good from Spurs. It was an okay performance, but they had to do the job. It's true, Sam. It was true. It was not the greatest of game at all. But they got there, and that's the most important. And yeah, for us, the van der Ven haul is brilliant.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Sam, I'm going to ask you to focus on Palace though instead, because they conceded from a set piece again, 5 blanks in a row for Mateta. There was no Richards in the Palace squad. Is now the time to be selling our Palace defence?
Yeah, I mean, you asked me earlier if I'm thinking about selling Sanessi, and I think if you're thinking about selling Sanessi, you've also got to be thinking about selling the likes of Gehi and Richards and Lacroix. Now, these players are players that we've relied on so far this season because they've been solid defensively and they've been getting the defensive contribution points. And in Gehi's case, they've had really good attacking threat. But Palace, I mean, Jules said earlier, they look like they need a nap. They look like they need longer than a nap. Like, they need a fully good few nights sleep and a holiday. Like, they look exhausted. And it's not going to help them have another 2 games in a week. Obviously, Spurs had a bit of an advantage because they didn't play in midweek last week, which was the first time in forever that we've not done that. But Palace had to play again and went to penalties against Arsenal in that one. So it's no surprise that they're tired, but it does make them a team to target now, because they just look like they need that rest. And, you know, some of them might get it FA Cup weekend, but still a few games out from that. So it's difficult to hold. I think they are expensive since they lost Munoz to injury as well. They've been weakened defensively. That's having a big impact on them. They're obviously down Ismaïl Assar as well because of AFCON. So there's just a real struggle going on in that Palace team. And it does feel like now could be the moment to just move off of them. It's risky because they're still heavily owned, but moving off of the likes of Gehi, who's expensive, to get in.
But it's not as difficult if you're a Richards owner like myself. We're kind of forcing your hand.
Yeah.
Although we don't fully know when he's going to be back.
But I think for you, it's a relatively easy decision, isn't it? Because, we're not seeing clean sheets out of them. He's a doubt anyway. You just move them on. I think with Gehi, it's a bit more complicated. Like, for me, it's a straight choice between who do you sell first? Do you sell Sanessi or do you sell Gehi? It's kind of here or there. They've both dropped off a cliff in terms of what I'm expecting of them. So, yeah, as frustrating as it is, Palace definitely feeling like a sell right now.
Okay, moving on then. Game week 18. Is it game week 18? Yeah, it's game week 18, isn't it? It's just around the corner.
No, 19.
Game
19.
Game week 19. Don't want to throw you under a bus, Sam, but you put 18.
Yeah, it's me.
I read like...
Can you tell that I was doing this last night?
I read really late. I was like, game week 18, although, you know, but as I said at the beginning of the show, who on earth at this time of year knows what day it is, let alone what game week it is in FPL? So game week 19 is played Tuesday and Thursday. There's no fixture on New Year's Eve. The only thing that I find really hard with this game week, Jules, is the fact the lack of press conferences and the lack of knowledge that we're going to have, because we're not going to hear from a lot of managers before the deadline.
Yeah, there's a bit of lottery in there. Plus the rotation that we mentioned, inevitably, there's only 3 days really between, you know, or you've played Sunday and you're going to play against Thursday, or you play Saturday and you're going to play Tuesday. Those games are coming so thick and fast at this period. And then you've got obviously another one after New Year's Day. So it's not easy to know what the managers will do, especially as you say, because that we won't hear press conferences where they're usually quite precise or you can ask a lot of questions. So let's see. So try to go with safe bets, I would say. If there's a player, like we said, some are yellow flagged, but Timber was a knock. Calafiori didn't feel well. They should come back, I think. Illness for Grealish, that should be, again, you would think that he could be back for this game week 19 here. And for others, just don't take the risk unless you've got a strong bench. But otherwise, it will cost you, as we saw with the Timber Van de Ven or Timber whoever combination this game week.
Yeah, and Sam, in terms of teams we're targeting, I think we've already covered it. We're going to be looking a lot at the Liverpool team playing Leeds and Manchester United playing Wolves.
Yeah, they feel like the two teams that you would target. And the good thing about Leeds and, targeting Liverpool and Manchester United is that they have nice fixtures that follow on as well. So, and with the amount of injuries that they both have, you can be fairly sure that the player that you're going to get in is going to play and going to be important. So yeah, it certainly feels like Manchester United and Liverpool are the ones that are going to be the main focus of our attention over the next couple of days.
Okay, differential of the week time. Sam brought in Verts and also picked him as her differential. Got 10 points. So she comfortably won this week compared to Jules' Anthony Gordon pick, who got 2 points.
I was unlucky.
Anyway, Sam, who have you gone for this week?
So I've got Dalot from Manchester United this week. Don't often pick a defender as my differential of the week, but I think it's difficult with the Manchester United attack to know where to go. And so Dalot feels like a sensible option. He's going to cost you 4.5 million. He's only owned by 3.3% of the game. So a nice cheap differential this week. This is all despite the fact that Manchester United actually haven't been great defensively. This was only their second clean sheet of the season, but he is posting decent attacking numbers as well. And he's had 3 big chances this season, which is the most of all the other Manchester United defenders. From his 9 shots, were a third of the chances that he's had this season have been big chances. He's also created 15 chances for his teammates, which again is more than any other Manchester United defender, and has supplied 35 crosses, which is only bettered by Dorgu. So some good underlying numbers there, attack-wise, meaning that, you know, we should be able to get some attacking returns out of him, especially as Wolves defensively have not been solid at all. At the other end of the pitch, Wolves haven't scored many goals this season. They've had 10, which is the fewest in the league. So I think with Dalot, with Dorgu, with Martinez, there's a potential for attacking returns at both ends, but I like Dalot's underlying numbers slightly more.
Okay, Jules?
I went for Manchester United player as well in Sene Lammens in goal, only owned by 2.1% of the managers. He would cost you 5 million. So in terms of goalkeeping or goalkeepers' prices, that is decent. You can have him as your backup if you have a Raya, for example. But in the next 3 games that we mentioned for United, Wolves, Leeds and Burnley, certainly Wolves and Burnley, I think you can easily have him as your starting goalkeeper. He's just returned 9 points against Newcastle. I thought he was really good on some of the saves. He had good saves before, even if, like Sam said, in terms of conceding goals, United conceded 17 in 12, only 2 clean sheets, including the one against Newcastle 2 days ago. So it's not the greatest record, but I think he's good on his line. And again, those 3 fixtures coming up, you would really fancy United to keep clean sheets. So Lammens could be a decent pick if you were looking for a goalkeeper.
Yeah, there's a theme there, isn't there? Manchester United. Transfers and captains then. What are you thinking of doing at the moment, Sam? You've obviously got that conundrum in your head as to which defender you sell. You've only got 1 transfer, haven't you?
Yeah, and that's where it's slightly problematic because I know that for the weekend, I want to go from Kudus to Rodgers, but I'm going to wait for game week 20 to do that one. So the question I have this week is, do I make a midweek transfer or do I just ride it through? I don't really have a bench, so that's slightly difficult. Like, I've got Sanetti as my first sub this week. The Everton defence is hurting me quite significantly. So whether I go from Gehi to Tarkowski or Gehi to Keane or Sanesi to Tarkowski, Sanesi to Keane, one of those transfers may happen. I might just roll it and then give myself time to think about it ahead of the weekend and make 2 transfers, which might involve a bit of a switcheroo with the way that I manage Arsenal as well, because I don't really want to make changes to the way my Arsenal investment happens ahead of this Villa game. But moving forward, I think I would like to swap up the goalkeeper so that I can have Rice as well as Saka. So it might just be a good moment to just pause and not make a transfer this week. But yet the desire for an Everton defender might just come a bit strong and I might end up doing that.
Captain?
It's really hard, this one, because I like, part of me thinks, well, Ekitike is an option, I don't have him. Cunha's an option, I don't have him. Wirtz, do I trust Wirtz with the captaincy? I just, no, maybe. I'm not entirely sure. So I'll probably end up going for Haaland and being really boring again.
Transfers and captains for you, Jules.
Ryan Cherki for Foden said, come with me on the Cherki bandwagon. It'd be fun. There's a lot of stepovers, you know, a lot of good things. And it would be fun. So let's do that all together. And captaincy, I think, I'm not sure again, is City away at Sunderland. And I think I can see that game a little bit like the Forest City game that we've just seen. And I'm not sure about Haaland in that game. I would fancy, I think, more Ekitike against Leeds, especially at home. So I think I probably... the armband will stay on Ekitike's arm.
Oh, I wish I could be as bold as Jules. I really do, because I had it on Ekitike.
Come on!
I had it on Ekitike all week and changed. When I did the fantasy show on Friday, I just couldn't bring myself to be the only one on the show not captaining Haaland, so I changed it. Sheep FC strikes again, so I'll probably do the same this week. But I've also got a bench boost to deal with, and my bench boost at the moment looks like Calvert-Lewin, Richards and Senesi, with Mukiele with City at home on there. So yeah, I'm going to probably be doing a couple of
defense. How many transfers do you have?
Two. So I think I'll probably do Richards to a Manchester United defender, and maybe Senesi to an Everton defender, because I think longer term they're moves I'd want to do anyway. So yeah, I'll definitely do one of those. It's just whether I do two this week. Okay then, it's a Tuesday evening deadline this week, 6 p.m, 90 minutes ahead of the 4:00, 7:30 kickoffs. Burnley, Newcastle, Chelsea, Bournemouth, Forest, Everton and West Ham versus Brighton. The Fantasy Show will be back on Friday morning. I've got Sam's other half, Lee, in the studio with me. We'll also be back on Friday to review game week 19 and look forward to game week 20, which kicks off on Saturday lunchtime. But for the final time this year, everyone, wishing you lots of green arrows. Very happy new year. We'll see you on the other side.